We're already in the month of December, and this is the month where we all celebrate Christmas. And Christmas is literally down the road. It's just a few days away. And so we want to talk about what Christmas really speaks of. And I want to bring your attention because Christmas is a holiday. The world knows it as a holiday. But I want to define, I want to sort of bring to the our attention what holiday really is, because a holiday really has its biblical roots. Okay, so a holiday in the Bible is when God appointed set times in which the people would come and encounter God through the feast. They were called holy convocations. And those holy convocations were days that were set aside, and they were to do no works at all. It was to be a holy day, not just a holiday. It's a holy day, H-O-L-Y, holy day. And so when we talk about holiday, it's a time to encounter God. It's a time to be in the presence of God. It's a time to meet with God. And so in this Christmas season, all right, we must go back and remember that when we talk about holiday, what do we really mean when we talk about a holiday? It was to be a day of rest, okay? It was to be a day of rest, and that's the reason why they were appointed not to do any work on it. So just keep that thought in mind, a holiday and a time of rest. And so Christmas here, we talk about Christmas, we talk about the first coming of Jesus Christ. The first coming of Jesus Christ was Jesus came as a baby, born in a manger, and Jesus came to set his people free. And so in this message today, I want to bring to your attention 3 points. And the first thing here is that in Christmas, all right, and in God's purpose for mankind, we see God's heart to tabernacle with us. There's a promise in the scriptures that, you know, we hear it right. I mean, right throughout the scriptures, there's a promise where God says, I will be your God. You will be my people, and I will dwell in your midst. And you can read that through Exodus. You can read that through Jeremiah, through Ezekiel, and right throughout the scriptures in the New Testament and right to the book of Revelation. So there is a desire for God to come and dwell in our midst. And so, as you know, Jesus came the first time, but he's also coming the second time. He's coming back again. And so remember that whenever we talk about Christmas, it's not just the first coming. It also points to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because without the first coming, there will be no second coming. The first coming makes way for the second coming. The first coming or the second coming completes the first coming. And so let's see the aspect of God tabernacling with us in our midst, both in the first coming and the second coming. So let's look at the first one here, all right? The first one we see is the first coming of Jesus. We read that in the Gospel of John. And it says from chapter 1, verse 10 to 14, it says, he was in the world, speaking of Jesus, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him, and that he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, and this is the key scripture here, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Right here in this verse, it's telling us how the Word, Jesus, the Word of God became flesh and dwelled among us. So here you have, right here, the heart of God to dwell in our midst. But the first coming, as we said, points to the second coming, because God had to make way for you and I to come to him so that we could literally, in his second coming, tabernacle with him for eternity. Amen. And so let's look at this now, the second coming. All right, so in the first coming, Jesus came to give us rest because he came to save us from our sin. He came to give us freedom from sin. And here in the second coming, I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 3. It says, now John, seeing in the spirit, he sees this, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And so this is the threefold promise of God, that he will be our God, we will be his people, and he would dwell in our very midst. He would be right there. We would be right there, literally, in his presence. And so this is the heart of God. God's heart is to tabernacle with us. And the second coming, when Jesus returns, he brings us into a day of rest. All right, everybody say, day of rest.
Day of rest.
And so in this day of rest, we find that for 1,000 years, Jesus and his church will begin to rule on the earth. And so not only now, we're waiting for that day, but when that day comes, there's going to be a time of rest over our enemies. And so we're all looking for that period of rest. And so I hope that you understand that God's heart is to bring us into his rest. When you think about it in creation, it says that God, in the first six days, God created the heavens, the earth, and he created everything. And on the sixth day, he made man. Then on the seventh day, he rested. See, God made man on the sixth day to enter into the very rest of God. We were created to enter into his rest. God never intended us to live life apart from him, his rest. So we were designed to rest in him and nothing else. Amen? I'm going to read here from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 10. And he talks about that rest that we have to enter in. Okay, he says, therefore, in verse 1, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, and not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. And so I hope that here you see that the moment we hear his word and believe, we are called to enter through faith into this rest. But this ultimately finds its fulfillment when Jesus returns, the ultimate rest that is in him. Now, I want to take you to Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And I'm going to take you to a very familiar story, and this is the story of Noah. Now, we know what happened in the days of Noah. The Bible tells us that man became so wicked that the intent and the thoughts of his heart was continually evil. And so God sends a flood now. All right, for 40 days it began to rain, and God sends forth a flood to destroy the earth by a flood. And this is what God says. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. It says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. I want to pay attention to the two key words here. Is my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. So here's the Spirit of God saying, I'm not going to struggle with man. I'm not going to struggle with the flesh of man. All right. And further on, you see, then Noah is instructed to build the ark, and he goes along, builds the ark. And here, when the rain comes, he enters into his ark with his family, and they preserve throughout the flood. And after, when the water began to come down, this is what we read now in Genesis chapter 8, verse 6 to 12. It says this. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove, pay attention to that word dove, to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the earth of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth, and no one knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days, and he sent out the dove, which did not return again to him, anymore. All right, here's what I want to draw out from this passage that we just read. And so here, he's in the ark, and he's waiting for the water to come down. And so he sends out this dove. But in verse now 9, see how it says the dove found no resting place. So what was the dove looking for? A resting place. And it couldn't find, and so it returned to the ark. And then we find that the dove went and never returned. But what I want to say here is that the dove was looking for a resting place. Now keep that in mind. The dove was looking for a resting place. Where was he looking? Where was he going? Why is that so important? I want to take you to my second point here. And at Christmas, not only talks to us about the first and points to the second coming, it doesn't show us only that God wants to tabernacle and give us rest, but it shows and reveals to us that the promise of the Messiah, all right, the Messiah was promised. It's a promise. It's given, it's received. Look at this. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 67, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And I want you to see that this promise was prophesied by the prophets all over the scriptures. This promise was also given to Abraham. It was a promised child, a promised Messiah, a promised servant of the Lord that would come forth to give us salvation. And so let me take you quickly here through the story of Abraham. Right, Abraham is an old man, and God makes a covenant with him and says to him, "I make a covenant with you, and all the nations and all the families of the earth shall be blessed, and I'll give you a child, I'll give you a son." And so here, right here, God promises Abraham a son. Okay, now, this was a promise. Okay, what did Abraham do with the promise? Well, the thing that he tried to do was he tried to work out. He tried to make the promise of God happen. But again, it came by promise, and therefore the son will be born by promise. So not only does it speak of Isaac, who was the promised son, but this speaks more prophetically, even more so, about the promised Messiah who would come forth from Abraham. Hallelujah. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a promise. Not by works, not by anything. Now, you think of Abraham. Abraham is an old man. Sarah is an old woman. And they're wondering, how am I going to bear a child in my own days? Physically, naturally speaking, they are beyond the age. How is it going to happen physically? And so what they try to do is they try to work out. They're trying to make it happen using their own self-effort and their own flesh. And so what they did, he said, Abraham, go into, Sarah, the wife, gives Abraham to have a slave woman to basically have a child. And so Abraham goes into Hagar and gives birth to Ishmael. All right. And so now we know that this was never God's intention, because the promise of God, the word given to Abraham, was the word of promise. But here we see that Abraham tried to achieve it by self-effort. And so out of that, he bore the consequences. But years to come, all right, the promise that was given to Abraham came to fruition. And now Isaac, the only begotten son of Abraham, came to birth. And so here in the New Testament, I want to show you this in Galatians chapter 4. It talks about that which is born of Hagar and that which is born of Sarah. We're going to look at the contrast here. But let me read first from chapter 4, verse 21 to 31. It says this: "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the first one, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren, you who have not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Aren't you glad that we are part of the free woman? We have been freed from the works of the law because Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. He is the promised Son. And because we are in Jesus Christ, because when we make a decision to follow Jesus and make Him Lord and Savior and allow Him to live in our lives, we are not of bondage. We are of the free. So the contrast is here. There's Hagar, there's Sarah. There's the bondwoman, there's the free woman. There's Ishmael, there's Isaac. There's the flesh versus the spirit. There's that which speaks of works and that which speaks of promise. And so the Messiah was the promised one because through this promise, we now are of the free. Now, let me take you back here. Remember how I gave you the story of Noah? And we saw the dove going out. It went out looking for a place of rest. Now, isn't it interesting that when Jesus was water baptized, you know, and he went into the water, what happened? What happened? The heavens opened, right? And the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, all right? And rested upon Jesus, alighted upon Jesus. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now look at this. Here we find the Holy Spirit like a dove. So the dove here, we see the picture of a dove in the scripture, points to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was looking for a place of rest. And Jesus is that place of rest. And that's the reason why through Jesus we can find that rest. Amen? So let me, now, what's the point of all of this? The point of this is this. In Christmas, we talk about the free gift of Jesus. We talk about the rest that Jesus has come to give us. The rest, the ultimate rest that Jesus comes to give to us. And we talk about all of those things. And now we talk about how the Spirit is looking for a place of rest. So to give us this rest ourselves. What does Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19 say? Well, let me make my point first and then we'll read this. You see, as long as we try to work out the promises of God, all right, and remember, in this season of Christmas, as long as we try to work it out, we see that we always seem to fall short of it. We all always seem to fail because we are striving in our flesh. We're working like we are technically free, but we're operating as if we are in bondage. And so here, the Holy Spirit is looking for a place of rest. And so here's my point. As long as we keep striving, I actually block myself from allowing the Holy Spirit to work in me. And you see, the Christian life, you know, maybe you don't know Jesus or maybe you do know Jesus. But either way, the only way we can live a Christian life is through Jesus Christ. And the only way is that if we depend on the Holy Spirit. You may be a non-Christian and you find that, you know, your life is a mess. It's because we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And you might be a Christian and you find, I want to live a victorious life, but I struggle with this and I struggle with that and I struggle with all kinds of things. Well, that's because we're ignorant of a truth. And the truth is that there is a way to live an overcoming life, but we just don't know about it. And the key is this, the Holy Spirit is the key. But how do we block it? It's when I strive. See, the Holy Spirit is looking for a place of rest. So my question is to all of us, including myself, are we resting in the Lord? You see, we talked about holiday as we began this message. A holiday is a holy day, a holy convocation unto the Lord. But most of our holidays is busy going to other places. Now, I'm not against holidays. I know it's nice to take a break and go over to different places. But sometimes what we do is we spend all of our energy and time to go for the holiday. And then when we come back from the holiday, we need another holiday to take rest from the holiday that we just had. I mean, you know, and that's very true, you know. And so we get so busy, but the God's kind of holiday is different. So I encourage you, you know, when you think about holiday, think about a time where we consecrate unto the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is saying, praying this, the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is, now listen to this, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. What power is he talking about here? You'll find that as you keep reading, it's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And we know that's the Holy Spirit. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, can you see that it's the Holy Spirit who works mightily in us? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. And Paul now saying, this is what he says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of this power. What is the effective working of this power? Again, it is the Holy Spirit. And no wonder why we always make prayers like this, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. Now, we say it a lot. I pray it a lot. But I have to come to a place where I say, well, I've prayed it a lot. But how does that look like in my life? Am I really allowing the Holy Spirit to work in me? You see, when we cease from our works, we attract the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can work effectively in us. But as long as we keep striving and trying to do it alone, by our own effort, you see, we don't give space for the Holy Spirit because it is He who works in us. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that it is God who works in us to will and even to do. There's a command to work out this salvation, but first I must learn to allow God to work in me first so that I could work out those very things that God is working in me. Can you say amen? Amen. So, you know, we live our Christian life. We want to overcome so many things. We want to live a victorious life. I want to say that this Christmas, you know, God is calling us to find rest from Him. Find rest, because there's no other way to do this but except that we receive it by faith. See, when the Word became flesh, and the Word became flesh and tells us that Jesus dwelt among us, it tells us that as many as receive Him, He gave them the right, He gave them the authority to become children of God. Can you see that it's about receiving? It's about receiving what God has done for you and for me. So right now, do we want to receive what the Holy Spirit has done for me? We just have to come to Him, right? In simplicity of faith. What is faith? Come to me, Jesus says, you know? Scripture says, you know, you search the Scriptures, for in it you think you have eternal life, but you are not willing to come to me. You see, it's not just about hearing the word of faith, but it's about hearing the word and mixing it with faith, as we read it earlier. So where is faith? Where is your faith and where is my faith? Are we being moved by what's happening around the world? Now, you and I agree that 2020 has been such an eventful year. So many things have happened. But I must say, for all of us, no matter where we come from, no matter how it affected us or how much it didn't affect us, there's one thing for sure that we have learned, that God arrested everything to give us rest. And He taught us that, hey, in the midst of all the difficulties, I am Lord. Come and find rest with me. The Bible says in Isaiah, come and rest in me. And God is calling us to rest in Him, but He says, but you were not willing that you would find that rest. So I want to encourage you today. Point number 3 is to receive Jesus, to receive all that God has done for us through faith. And the thing that we must do is very simple. is to cease. Stop. Okay? Stop. Cease from our own works. Stop striving. Stop trying to achieve and make the promises of God happen through our flesh. Cease from self-effort. You know, I've realized it even for my own life. The more I try, the more I say to myself, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this, the more you'll find that you don't really make it. All right? We may be successful for a period of time, and that seems wonderful. You're like, yes, I've overcome. And then here comes another day, another month, and here we go. Oh, no. Lord, I failed. Please forgive me. And it could be another few months, or it could be another year down the track, and you go again, oh, Lord, I thought I overcome this. And you see, every time that we try to do anything without the help of the Holy Spirit, without depending on Him, we are operating with our flesh. But God is just saying, you know, Christmas is I came on earth. I came to give you rest. I came to give all of you rest. I came to be your salvation. Find rest in me. Enter into my rest. Now, we as Christians never like to say that we know, and the words that we speak is always, well, I live by faith and not by sight. But the reality is, when I look at my life, is that really true? Am I actually being, what's the word I'm looking for? Am I triggered by my physical senses? Am I triggered by my own personal thoughts? But here, I want to encourage you this Christmas. Seek the Lord, all right? And God wants to give us an encounter. When you look at the story of Christmas, it's amazing how many people had encounters. Now, you want to talk from Zacharias, which had unbelief. And so he, because of his unbelief, he was muted for a bit. You talk about Mary having an encounter. You talk about the wise men. You talk about the shepherds. You talk about the birth of Jesus. You talk about Simeon. And then you talk about Anna, the prophetess. You know, you talk about all these various people. And they just came to Jesus. They had an encounter. This Christmas, God wants to give us an encounter. And I'm amazed. One of the things that I look, and I've been reading the stories again, I look at the book of Luke and look at what the shepherds, they saw the angels worship, and they went to look for the baby, for Jesus. And when they saw Jesus, and they began to say to Mary all kinds of things, and Mary was like, you know, wondering and pondering about it and putting these things in her heart. I mean, it's amazing how, what I want to encourage you is that those people who encountered, who had this Christmas experience, as we call it, had an encounter with God and it moved them. I want to say, let the Word of God move us this morning. And if you feel like you need to find rest, or if you need a breakthrough in your life, well, you know what? The key is not in the trying. The more you try, the more we fail. So stop trying. All right, stop trying. What we can do is simple. In the same way that you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you said, Lord Jesus, I believe in your word. I have faith in you. I trust in your power to work in me. I confess it with my mouth. And you know what? It's the same way we ought to live our lives. All I have to say, Lord Jesus, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. I can't seem to overcome this issue. All you have to say is do is this. Don't try and stop the issue. Just yield ourselves to God. And what we're going to do is we're going to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you according to your word, according to your promises. I'm going to put my faith in what you say rather than believe my experience and believe what's happening to me. I'm going to choose to believe what your word says. As the song says, you are the way maker, promise keeper, right? And so this is our God. That is who he is. Amen. So I want to encourage all of us here. As we make our way, as we're going to meet on Christmas Day, on this holy day, we're going to keep it as a day holy unto the Lord. We're going to meet Him, and we're going to say, Lord Jesus, have your way in me. And you say, Amen. Hallelujah. I want to pray. I just want to conclude this in prayer. And I really want to make this really personal between you and God. Now, you know, you and I know very well where we're at with our walk with God. You know where we have struggled, we know where we're at. We know the things that we are still wrestling with. And I want to say this to you. Don't strive in the flesh, don't walk in the flesh. Just allow the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, the Holy Spirit is here to touch you and to touch me right now. I pray, Lord Jesus, that on Christmas, you know, you give us a reminder that You want us to rest in you. And you want to dwell in our very midst to give us that very rest. It is not by self-effort, for you say in your word that no flesh shall glory in your presence. God, I just pray that we repent right now, Lord, in your name, that everything that we have done by self-effort is dead works. And so I turn away from my dead works. I turn away from my religious works. I turn away from the sense of I need to find fulfillment in achieving certain things, only then to find peace in your presence. Lord, we turn away from all these things. We come humbly and solely alone by what your word says to us, that we can boldly enter the throne room of grace by the precious blood of Jesus. We have access to God the Father by one Spirit, by the Holy Spirit who works effectively in us. God, I pray for each and every one of us that we avail ourselves, we cease from our works, we stop trying in our flesh and give space to the Holy Spirit to work in us effectively, that we might become who you have called us to be. Lord, I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, I hope that this message will bless you, all right? It's not just a message, but really receive that word and know that just as Mary said, Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. It was never by effort. Remember, the promise of God came by promise, and it is received through promise. It is received by grace through faith. So remember this Christmas, as we celebrate it together, let's keep our eyes on Jesus, that we can solely trust in him. Take his word. I encourage you, take his word, take it to the Lord, and talk to him about his word until you get your breakthrough, because that is faith, when we take his word and act upon it and trust what he says instead of what's happening to us. Can you say amen? Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you very soon.